What a joy it is to understand that our God is a forgiving God. Aren't you glad the Lord forgave you? We're going to be talking about the Lord's forgiveness and then our forgiving others. It's a little more tricky when we forgive others. The Lord is so wonderful and so powerful. In fact, Peter thought he had it all together. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Peter thought he had it all figured out. And Peter said to Jesus in verse 21, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" See, Peter was saying, the Pharisees and the scribes said you only forgive three times, at the most four. So Peter's telling Jesus, I'm so spiritual right now, I want to tell you I'm going to double that three and add you one. Seven times. Notice it says, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Wow. We're going to be looking at this chapter, and I want to use for a subject this morning, the unforgiving servant. You may be seated. The unforgiving servant. I am so blessed to be on my way to heaven. And if you're a Christian, you feel the same way. But I'm on my way to heaven because I've been forgiven plus reconciled. See, it takes two to be reconciled. It only takes one to forgive. And we have a cheap, sugar-coated salvation in the land today that believes you just saved because the Lord forgave you of your sins. But no, there has to be a change in your life, and there has to be reconciliation. On God's part, your part, you two come together. I'm convinced that the church is riddled with people that have mistaken forgiveness for eternal life, salvation. Now, it's a step to it, but we have eternal life because we have been reconciled between God and us. That we have been changed and God has came into our life, and not only has he forgiven us, but he has made us to walk with him in heavenly places. He's made us to walk with him. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And there are a lot of people that they seek forgiveness over and over and over again, but they don't walk with God because they don't agree with God in what God is doing in the land today. You got to get pretty fanatical about serving God and looking to the scriptures in order to really experience that reconciliation in your life. Now, Peter thinks he's got it together. The scribes, the people, the givers of the law said you forgive three times after that, you know, whammy. Yeah? How many, and if you want to raise your hand, you can. You don't have to, but I'll ask the question. Have you ever been abused, mistreated? Has anyone ever hurt you and you had a hard time letting it go? Now, hello? Woo! And, you know, you rehash it. You got to learn to forgive. You got to learn to let it go. Amen. Now, I don't know much about golf. But if I went to a driving range to drive golf balls, and while I was there, someone took a golf club and beat the sweetness plumb out of me. I mean, just literally beat me plumb down into the ground. It's not bad enough that I can't hit the ball, but it's worse when someone walks up and bends their club over my head and beats half the sweetness out of me. In fact, all the sweetness out of me. By this time, I'm smelling like cow manure. I'm mad. Amen. And so the next time I'm going to come to the driving range, if that same guy that beat me up is out there with a club, I'm going to drive by. I mean, I'm just going to ignore that guy. I mean, it's just common nature for us to avoid conflict. It's just, you know, that's just part of us. We withdraw when someone hurts us. But when we withdraw and we don't release in our heart forgiveness, it poisons us. We relive that experience over and over again. And so Peter's trying to say, you know, I got you up on this. The leaders say three times after that, you know, you can bust their head or whatever. Turn the other cheek, and then after that, you know, the fist is there. When I look at the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, what if Jesus Christ said to us, I'll forgive you one time. I'll forgive you one time. Well, if he said that just one time, we ought to all go home, crawl in bed, depressed, cover our head with the quilts, and wait for the judgment day. Right? Now, what if God was to tell you, I'll forgive you three times? I mean, that's better, but most of us would not even get out of the dugout. Three strikes, we're out. What if the Lord said, I'll forgive you seven times? That's pretty cool. Seven times. But there's not a person in this room would be here today if only the ones, you know, if those that sinned more than seven times stayed home. God forgives us. 70 times sounds even better. But I'm looking at a group of people that you need more than 70 times forgiven. And Jesus says to Peter, not 70 times, not three times, not one time, not seven times, not 70 times, but seven times 70 times you're to forgive. That's 490 times. I mean, who's counting? But from the looks of some of you right now, you would even bust that one. You would even supersede 490 times. So Jesus Christ is basically saying to you that forgiveness is unlimited. Jesus provides for us unlimited forgiveness. Hello? Unlimited forgiveness. Now, where did Jesus get this seven times 70? Where did he get this with Peter, you're to forgive seven times 70? Where did he get this 490 times, an unlimited amount of forgiveness? Where did he get that? Well, he got that. How many remember reading about Cain in the fourth chapter of Genesis? Remember about that? It says here in the fourth chapter of Genesis, verse 13, remember God had told him in verse 12 of chapter 4 of Genesis that you'll be a fugitive, a vagabond, you'll roam the earth like a vagabond. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment, verse 13, is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me, try to kill me. Verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Back up to verse 15. It says, and the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, God will bring vengeance upon anyone that slays Cain, that takes vengeance upon him, God will bring vengeance upon him sevenfold. There it is. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. We're talking about revenge. Cain left there where he was, where he sinned and killed Abel. And verse 16 says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. I mean, oh, America's pretty much there. Those that mistreat and abuse are pretty much there. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelled in the land of Nod. Some of you are dwelling there now. Nod. On the east side of Eden. Now, Cain builds a city. And in that city, there was children born. And among the children that were born was a man by the name of Lamech. It's in verse 23. And Lamech said unto his wives, he married two women. No wonder he's in a bad mood. He says to his two wives, Ada, Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding. A man hurt me, I killed him. That young man to my hurt, I killed him. And Lamech said, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 70 and sevenfold. In other words, 77 times. That's where Jesus got this. There is vengeance upon people that are not forgiven. And that's why Jesus Christ came to earth to forgive. Not everyone that Jesus Christ died for on the cross of Calvary has been reconciled. But Jesus forgave anyone that would come to him. I don't care who you are, whosoever, if you come to Jesus Christ under the drawing of the Holy Spirit, God drawing you to the Son, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, Jesus Christ cried from the cross of Calvary, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So forgiveness, Jesus Christ forgived the world, pretty much. But to understand John 3:16, understand I'm forgiven, we got to understand it goes deeper than that. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So people have to be reconciled to God. Forgiveness is the first step, but I meet people pastoring over the years that they run for forgiveness. They run for forgiveness, nothing wrong with that. Thank God for forgiveness. But you got to reach a place where you're not only forgiven, but you're walking in God's will, that you're walking with God. That's so important. But nonetheless, God gives us unlimited forgiveness. Aren't you glad for that? Unlimited forgiveness is an awesome thing. And he tells Peter 70 times 7, 490 times. That didn't mean that it was just 490 times. I don't mean you count up 489. Okay, one more. That 490 is an unlimited amount of forgiveness. It was a ridiculous statement, although it was precious and wonderful, because it shows us that forgiveness is unlimited. God wants you to reach that place in your life. He wants you to forgive others like he has forgiven you. So Jesus Christ gives us a parable about a servant that was guilty of embezzlement. This servant, and he tells Peter, the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, is like a servant. Look at verse 23 down to verse 27. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife. Did you know that a slave only brought one talent? His wife brought one talent. If he had five children, he might get seven talents. That's a far cry from 10,000 talents. And the king commanded him to be sold, make payment. And the servant therefore fell down and worshiped the king, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. That was a ridiculous statement. I'll pay you all. I'll pay God for forgiveness. I'll pay it all. Ridiculous. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. Now, this is a servant that is guilty of embezzlement. 10,000 talents has been embezzled out of the king's coffers. No doubt this servant was involved with the leadership of the kingdom, and this servant had stolen. You couldn't spend 10,000 talents in a lifetime. So those 10,000 talents were somewhere, hidden in the dirt, hidden behind walls, hidden with other people. Those 10,000 talents were taken. They weren't spent. They were taken. So they were stored up somewhere. But the king, representing Jesus Christ, forgave him. Because the king was going to judge him. And the king said, I'll forgive you. He fell down on his face and worshiped Jesus, worshiped the king, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Now, that was a ridiculous statement. And the reason it was a ridiculous statement, if talents is in silver in that day, one talent was about 20 years of work pay. One talent was 20 years of pay. We're talking 10,000 talents. He couldn't have paid it off in 200 years. It was not possible to pay it off. And he couldn't pay it off in 200 years. But he fell at the feet of the king, worshiped the king, and said, please have mercy. And the king, out of love and kindness, forgave him of the debt. Woo! Let me stop right there. Hallelujah! I could never repay God in a million years what he's done for me. I could never measure up to the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Son of God, not in a zillion years. But God forgave me of a debt that I owed. And that debt that I owed, that he did not owe, but he paid. Somebody took the loss. The king took the loss. And this man is forgiven. He's guilty of embezzlement. And I want to mention that again because we're going to come back to that. It's important that you see this. The servant wanted forgiveness. He got forgiveness. But this same servant went out with unforgiveness. The same servant wasn't reconciled. He did not have forgiveness in his heart. He went out with unforgiveness. He went out. He had been forgiven, but he went out with problems with others. The same servant went out with unforgiveness. When people get saved, God moves in and forgiveness takes over. Now, you may be a Christian struggling with forgiving someone or forgiving an event in your life, but I want you to know this. You want to. If you're a Christian, you want to. But it hurts so bad, and it's hard to deal with that problem. Some of you have been in this room have been hurt. Some listeners on live stream, you've been hurt unbelievably, horrifically. Now, this one that had been forgiven of his debt went out, and he's called the unforgiving servant. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, or if you have other translations, say is a denaro. And he owed him 100 pence. And the man said, he fell down. He said, pay me what you owe. And the man fell down. Verse 28, the conclusion. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat. That's pretty violent, isn't it? Saying, pay me! Pay up! And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying the exact words that this unforgiving servant gave to the king, the exact words. He besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now, the truth is, this person owed 100 pence. He could have repaid it. But the other one could never pay his debt. And so he goes out. And because the man wouldn't be patient with him, verse 30, the unprofitable, the unforgiving servant, he would not listen to him, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So he goes after a guy. He's been forgiven for 10,000 talents. He couldn't pay it in 200 years of life. 200 years of life, he could never pay it. In a time of cycle, it could never be paid. He leaves the king's presence, goes, finds a fellow servant that's with him that owes him 100 pence. That is 100 days of wages. 100 days of wages. And he said, "You pay me." He took him by the throat, this unforgiving servant, shook him, said, "You pay me, you pay me, you pay me." And the guy said the same thing that the unforgiving servant said to the king. "If you'll have patience with me, I'll pay it all. Have pity on me. Have compassion on me." But he didn't. He threw him in jail. He threw him in prison. After beating him, he threw him in prison. Well, verse 31 tells us that someone will tell on you. You think harboring unforgiveness in your heart, someone will tell on you. You think you can live a life of bitterness and anger towards someone else, someone will tell on you. You be critical, you be judgmental, you criticize others, you be unforgiving, someone will tell on you. Who's that someone? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will tell on you. And when he tells on you, he'll chasten you. He'll move upon you. He'll convict you. And he will take you to the king. The Holy Ghost will take you to the king. And it says here, then the Lord, verse 32, he was delivered to the tormentors. The Bible says in verse 32, and the Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, "Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now, here is a beautiful passage of Scripture. Not for him, but for us. The king delivered him to the tormentors. Because of the wrath of God, he delivered him to the tormentors that he should pay all that was due him. Now, I want you to understand that in the Jewish mindset, the Jewish rule and law, they were not allowed to torture people. They were allowed to kill people by stoning or something like that, but they were not allowed to torture people over debts. In fact, they did have debtor's prison. They would sell people as a slave to pay debts. Aren't you glad they don't have that today? Just about everybody in this room would be in jail. It's true. But we don't have debtor's prison here in the U.S., but this man was put in prison because of his unforgiveness, because he was an unforgiving servant. But he was delivered to the tormentors. Now, I want you to understand something. Jews were not allowed to torture people, but Romans were. And the Roman would take this servant, this unforgiving servant, into the prison, into the torture, and deliver him to the torturers. And then Roman soldiers would torture him to the place where he would tell every place he had money hidden. He would beat them, the Roman soldiers would beat them and get out of him where all those 10,000 talents went. It would be collected, get back to the king. Aren't you glad God don't do that to us? But I want you to understand something. He was teaching this unforgiving servant to be forgiving. He was teaching him to remember what he had done, remember his sin, remember his what he had done wrong by torture. He remembered that he had some money maybe he gave to one of his children. He hid it somewhere, maybe in a different place, a hiding place. And every time he saw and the torturers got it out of him, he knew that he needed to be forgiven. Brought back to his remembrance all of his embezzlements. Every place he had violated, every place he had hidden something, brought him to understanding that he was a sinner, that he needed forgiveness. And I want you to know that sometimes people take the rocky road to Christ. Other times people find the road and they weep and sob on the road that was laid out by the Holy Spirit to come to Christ. But some come through the rocky way. Unforgiveness is something that will hinder your journey. The Bible says here that verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. Woe, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Now here's where we get to the very hardness of this forgiving. I'm glad that the Lord forgave me. We need to always remember that we have violated God to the point we've gone beyond payment. We cannot pay him. We need to always remember what we did in transgression against him, and the tortures will bring you to that remembrance. We must forgive no matter how bad the abuse was to us. Someone had to pay. The king paid. Jesus Christ paid for my sin. He paid for yours. See, you can't say, well, you know, I sinned and I've done wrong. It isn't a voice in your heart saying, well, don't worry about it. Not a big deal. Oh, it is a big deal. Notice it says in verse 32, the king said to this unforgiving servant, I forgave you because you desired me. I forgave you because you desired me. There's not a person in this room that doesn't desire eternal life. There's not a person in this room that doesn't desire forgiveness. There's not a person in this room that doesn't desire to go to heaven. There's not a person in this room that doesn't desire the goodness of God, to walk with God, to know God, to go to heaven when you die. There's not a person in this room that doesn't desire. You do desire the goodness of God. You do desire the love of God. You do desire the forgiveness of God. And the king said, I forgave you because you desired me. And God forgave us because we desired forgiveness. We desired everlasting life. We desired mercy. We desired the goodness of God. And because we desired him, Jesus Christ washed through our soul, forgave us, and reconciled us unto God, his Father. Wow. I want to talk to you a little bit about forgiveness and reconciliation. Because there are those that says, well, if I forgive someone, the Bible says we're to forgive someone unlimited, like Jesus forgave, we're to forgive. But there are those people that said, well, I would forgive, but I don't want to go back to abuse. I would forgive, but I don't want to go back to the situation I was in. Some people have it in their head, if I forgive, I have to let that person into my life to abuse me. You didn't get that in the Bible. God doesn't teach that. God doesn't teach that you go to the one that abuses you. Just because you forgive them doesn't mean you have to go back into the same toxic relationship. Are you listening to me? And there are people that think, well, if I forgive them, then I have to buddy with them. No, you don't. If a bank loaned you $10,000 and you were sloppy and didn't pay it, and the bank, they wouldn't do it now, they would take your property. But if the bank said, all right, we're going to forgive you of that debt, $10,000, you're forgiven of the debt. We write it off. But the bank doesn't have to loan you another $10,000. The bank doesn't have to do business with you again. Now, that's where reconciliation comes in. It only takes one person to forgive, but it takes two to be reconciled. And I just want to say to everyone in this room that salvation isn't just I'm forgiven. You are forgiven. That's the beginning of salvation. God won't accept you till you're forgiven. But you can't be forgiven and go right back to what you were and not be reconciled to God. I mean, pardon me if I'm messing up your sugar-coated salvation. No, don't pardon me. I said what I said. This sugar-coated salvation, ask the Lord to forgive you, and it's done. No, you ask the Lord out of contrition to forgive you. You turn your life to Him, and God makes reconciliation with you. You're born again. You're changed by the power of God. You're made a new creature in Christ. But if you go back out in the world like this unforgiving servant, you're going to pay a horrible price. Now, there are times when there needs to be reconciliation. Let's say a husband and wife gets at odds. Oh, never. Husband and wife, maybe the wife does the man dirty. I know the man would never do that. Let's say the wife does the man wrong, or say the man does the woman wrong, his wife wrong. They have to forgive. From their heart, they forgive, because that's what a Christian does. But they have to work through it to get reconciliation. Now, sometimes reconciliation is not an option. Let's say someone gets raped, beaten, abused. That rape victim forgives, but they don't have to go back to the person that abused them and raped them. A mother and father, their children, if at all possible, there should be reconciliation. A husband and wife, if at all possible, reconciliation. A mother and daughter, if all possibility, reconciliation. A son and his father, reconciliation. But forgiveness is the bond that pulls that together. And in those cases, there should be an attempt for reconciliation. However, I'm not going to reconcile with the guy that beat me with a golf club. If you weren't listening to the sermon, you're way off now. I've lost you. Let me talk about toxic relationships for a minute. Toxic relationships. If you're going to rehabilitation over and over again, if you're going for detoxing, if you're going constantly for being rehab or restirred, I don't know all the names they have for it, but they go for rehab and they go through therapy. The only thing worse than that is getting addicted to therapy. The only thing worse than being detoxed over and over and over again is if you get addicted to that. And I'm afraid there's people that are so in the place where they won't forgive, and because they won't forgive, or if they try to forgive, they keep living these nightmares in their life. They've tried to get the rehab or the rehabilitation or the detoxing to loose them from their guilt or loose them from the pain that they have, when all that is necessary is to take the thorn out of your heart and you'll heal. Are you hearing me? In other words, let's say you have a crazy, nutty family member. Well, let me rephrase that, because everybody has one. But anyway, let's say you got an absolute crazy, horrific, crazy brother or sister. And they're always molesting you with words. They're always criticizing you. They're always putting you down. They're always abusing you. Now, you must forgive them. But you don't have to reconcile with them in the area that you go boating together, fishing together, picnicking together, running together. That isn't necessary. What is necessary, you forgive from your heart. And if you can reconcile, then that's good. But the truth is, there's so many people out there that are so mixed up in their brain and so distorted in their life, you can never reconcile with them. It just won't happen. They'll hurt you again and again and again and again and again. Forgive them and just put them in God's hands. Don't take them back into your life. I'm hitting pay dirt right now. So, well, I have to do it because they're a brother. I have to do it because they're a sister. I have to do it because they're a mother. I have to do it because they're a father. No, you don't have to. Your family's this church. Your God is your Father. God cares about you. You do not have to go out in the world and be abused. There's enough abuse anyway without you going back to the one that over and over and over and over hurts you. That's why sometimes marriages cannot be healed because there's no ground for reconciliation. That's why families cannot have reconciliation because one or both or someone will not allow it to be so. Salvation is you allowing reconciliation, God taking over your life. Salvation is reconciliation, forgiveness, then reconciliation, and God takes over your life. He heals, forgives, and blesses you. Come on now. I'm preaching better than you're responding. You say, well, preacher, that don't sound right. You forgive someone, then you just don't let them back into your life. Oh, you got it, didn't you? Wow. You're smart. Now, you let them back in your life if it's possible. But if it's impossible, you do not let them back in your life. Say, so how do I forgive them? How do I, from my heart, forgive someone? They're not going to listen to me. They're going to repeat abuse in my life. How do I forgive someone? Let me just, first of all, be born again. Let the great master forgiver live in your heart. That's the first thing. Make sure that you're a child of God. Let the master live in your heart. Allow your nature to be changed by the new birth. Be born again. Allow God to reconcile you with Him, forgive you, and have reconciliation. That's the first step. The second step is, every time you relive this hurt, say out loud, no, Father, you forgave me. I forgive them. Every time that burden comes on you, every time that guilt, that hurt, that pain comes on you, just say out loud, I forgive them in Jesus' name. I hold no ill toward them in Jesus' name. What are you doing? You're speaking down into your heart. Hello? If you're listening to me, I can help you here. And pray for them. Pray for them. In your prayer life, pray for them that have hurt you. Forgive them, pray for them. You pray for someone long enough, you'll forgive them. It may be hard at first. Your prayer may come out saying, oh God, kill them. Your prayer may come out, God, you know what they did to me. And you relive the pain in God's presence. No, 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 no. Don't relive the pain. Stop. And say, I forgive, I choose to forgive because Christ forgave me. Don't rehearse those hurts, but then don't go back to the same surgeon that opened you up without anesthesia. Every person that is convinced that they need to go through rehab and detoxification or whatever it is, Every person that thinks they got to go through this program and they're addicted to the program is addicted because the person that hurt them is the one pushing them to do it. Why? Because the one pushing them to do it is the one that needs the therapy, not the one that is told to go get it. Wow. There's nothing wrong with you. If you're not out there hurting people, there's nothing wrong with you. But if someone's out there hurting people or hurting you, there's something wrong with them. They need the detoxing. They need the rehabilitation. They need the help, not you. And don't allow them to suck you into that and convince you that you need to be loving and kind. If you forgive me, you got to have me back. That is not scriptural. You got to love them. You got to be kind to them. But then again, there's something in us that wants to avoid the driving range if you've been beat half to death by a golf club. What did I say? What is it? What do you say when you hit a ball? Do you go four? Or do you say timber? Or do you say 3 points? I don't know. I know nothing about golf, but I know a lot about forgiving people, and I know a lot about hurt. I know a lot about pain, and I know that you should separate yourself, unplug yourself from that which is burning you alive. Let it go. Amen. I remember when I was a little boy, they used to make fans where the fan was right there close to the grill. And me and my brother, we get it. How many ever talked in a fan while it was going full by? Makes it real weird, you know. Well, I got it in my head, you know, I think I can stick my tongue in there. And I did. And I did. And I did it never again. You say, you must have a long tongue. No, it's shorter now. But anyway. You talk about a short circuit. I got it. But anyway, I don't want you to misunderstand me. Did Jesus talk to Herod before his crucifixion? No. Did Jesus buddy up with the scribes and the Pharisees the week before his crucifixion? No. Why? Because you don't have to go jumping in the mousetrap over and over again. You're not a rodent. Hello? Now, there are those that build their whole ministry on casting out devils out of Christians. There are those that spend their whole ministry on detoxing or delivering people from abuse. And that's okay. I'm all right with that. I don't have a problem with that. But I like to just cut across the pastor and say, get born again, get changed by the power of God, and disconnect with the people that's poisoning your life. Well, you're not a Christian. You didn't forgive me if you don't let me come in here and switch you and beat you and hurt you some more. Well, I'm your father. I'm your brother. I'm your friend. I'm part of the family. You didn't forgive me. If you forgave me, you would let me back in. No, you can forgive. And you can learn not to allow certain people to continue abusing your life. Does that mean you're mean to them? No, you pray for them. Does that mean you're unkind to them? No. You're kind to them when you see them? I tend to withdraw from people that hurt me. But I guarantee you, every person I withdraw from because they hurt me, I'm spending quality time in prayer saying, Lord, please bless them and help them. So you'll be amazed how incredible God can save someone. And this whole 18th chapter of Matthew is talking about if you can go to one and tell them how they hurt you, you've gained a brother, you can fix it. In real serious issues where there's a financial embezzlement, you can take it with two others with you, confront it. Eventually, you can take it to the leaders of church. They'll deal with it. The church will deal with it and make sound judgment on it. And whatever you agree on earth shall be agreed in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Wherever you get together in serious business, there will I be. Jesus Christ said, I'll be there in the midst of you. We went through all that. So he's still talking about discipline here. Is there time? Will there be a time when you can reconcile with someone? Maybe. I leave all options open. But I want you to understand something, and please hear me. People who live their life addicted to rehabilitation, they live their lives because someone in their life has convinced them they're unworthy, they cannot reach that place, they'll never be able to obtain, and they will convince them that they are the ones that's the problem, when all the time it's the one that's abusing you is the problem. And I hate to say this, but people turn into super saints, pretend to be, and they try to control. Now listen, after you grow up and you become a grown man, mama with the switch should not be controlling you anymore. Trust me, my mama controlled me. No, she didn't. She tried. Every morning I'd jump up, run down over the hill to the Garrison Spring, catch crawdads, and I'd forget all about school. That's why I'm so stinking smart today. I got the crawdad theology, crawdad institution. Please don't misunderstand me. God's greatest desire is that there always be reconciliation. But sometimes it's not possible. And the lake of fire is going to be full of people that God could not bring reconciliation. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe everybody that asked Jesus to forgive him is forgiven. But not everybody that asks for forgiveness is born again. I believe when someone says, forgive me, and they ask Jesus to forgive, Jesus never says no. He always forgives. But it's not forgiveness that changes you into a new creature. It is reconciliation. Forgiveness is the start. Forgiveness is the place you began. But reconciliation is the true born again experience. Being reconciled back to God. And when Jesus Christ cried from the cross, Father, forgive them, not everybody around that cross ever was. Many of them around that cross didn't go to heaven. They were forgiven by Jesus, but they didn't go to heaven. Many of them. The soldier that was reconciled to Jesus. Only those around the cross that was reconciled to God received true born-again salvation. I know this is hard. And I know that there are churches full of this sugar-coated salvation. No, salvation is Jesus-coated, permeated, anointed. But salvation isn't just you being forgiven. Salvation is you being forgiven, yes, but being reconciled, being changed. So that you can walk with him, know him, serve him. Amen? Did I help anybody in this room? I hope I helped you. I'm not saying write everybody off. I'm just saying that if someone hurts you and hurts you and hurts you and hurts you, you have no one to blame but yourself. Stay out of the hurting zone. Okay. Hey, I got through Matthew 18. Boy, won't you be excited. Next week is divorce and remarriage. How's that for you? Well, we're not coming next Sunday. And please hear me. I'm not going to preach on divorce and remarriage and all these other stuff that's in chapter 19 on Easter Sunday. I figure I can pull something out of the empty tomb. I don't need to go with something that's rotted and decayed. Hello. Amen. Stand with me. I hope this helped you. If you have a hard time forgiving someone, confess it with your mouth. State, I forgive them. Say what they've done. I forgive them. But don't relive it over and over again. Ask God to bless them. Stay out of the hurting zone. And understand you're not the problem. The one that hurts you is the problem. You forgive them because your Heavenly Father forgives you. Because if you don't forgive them, you know what's going to happen? You're going to find yourself over and over and over again being tormented by your past hurts. And over again, your pain, your hurts will drag you down that road of hurt and pain. You gotta fess up. You gotta confess. You gotta pray for their blessing. Pray that the Lord will bless them, encourage them, save them. Bless them, forgive them. Be good to them when you see them, but stay out of the driving range. Stay out of the hurting zone. Learn, my friend. It's one thing to be persecuted for Jesus. It's another thing to go places trying to get persecuted. There's a big difference. Altar's open. Maybe you'd like to come up here this morning. It's still early. It's not even 12 yet. It's still early. You can still beat the Baptist to the eating place. But anyway, still early. Maybe you're right here and there's something that you're struggling with. Maybe you're having a hard time forgiving someone. Why don't you come to this altar this morning and say, Father, I want to forgive them. Father, I forgive them. I forgive them in Jesus' name. I forgive them. I ask you to bless them. Would you do that from your heart and ask God to forgive them, and more than that, you forgive them? See, you can forgive them and they don't even have to be here. It only takes one to forgive. You can forgive them and they can be dead and gone and you can still forgive them. You can forgive them and they could be in another state somewhere else, in another church. Maybe in the front row or back row or middle row. You can forgive. You don't need them to forgive because you've got the master forgiver in your heart as a Christian. Forgive them. If from your heart, forgive them. That's what you got to do. Altar's open.